We'll be continuing our study on faith as we look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and we study the heroes of faith, amazing men who trusted God, and what they were able to accomplish, and how they faced life because of their faith. So we're going to look at this morning a little bit about Abraham. Now, Abraham, of course, the one who began the nation of Israel, the nation of Hebrews, and the Jew. And we have a lot about him in this portion of Scripture. He's one of the halls, one of the main characters of faith in chapter 11. So let's read together. Start with verse 8. If you have your study guide, take a look at that. Verse 8 of chapter 11. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." So as we look at this scripture here about faith, we find something here at the beginning. It says, "But by faith, Abraham, when called to go." Faith calls us. It calls us to look at life differently, to look at life differently. So when you take a look at this portion of Scripture, we see that Abraham, when he received the call, something dramatically different happened. He changed. When he received the call, he was in Mesopotamia with his relatives, living his life pretty well off. He had servants that he owned. He had property. He had family there. And he was pretty comfortable with his life there in Ur of the Chaldees. And we find that there's something happened that made him decide, "I'm going to get up and move. I'm going to leave." What was that thing? Well, we say it's the call. The call. God called him. And when I am living this way, when I'm living with faith, I find myself living differently. So what is this call that we're talking about? Well, what happens when we receive the call is that, and it can happen to in many different ways, but something happens in your life to where you reevaluate everything, and you start to look at things differently, and you start to say, "Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I living the way I'm living? And where is my life going? And why am I taking this path and not that path?" You start to examine everything and you start to change how you look at your life. See, Abraham, when he was there, when he got the call from God, well, he's living in a pagan land where they had, idols, and they believed there was a polytheistic kind of culture where there are many gods, and you have gods that are involved in different parts of how the world works, and you definitely want to be on the good side of that god, and so you have certain things you do to part of your worship to make sure that you have a good life, because you don't want to offend one of the gods who happens to deal with fertility and crops growing and everything. If you tick him off, you could have a terrible life. So you want to make sure that all these things are working. And so this is kind of how you looked at life, how you lived life. And you're tied to your family. Your family is everything. You know, it's a clan. It's the tribe. It's your identities in the family. And so you have your father who's pretty well-respected, and he's wealthy, and you are going to be wealthy, and you have a position in the community, et cetera, et cetera. All these things. Then he gets a call, and he realizes there's a real God. A God who speaks. A God who reveals himself. And that changes everything. He's lived this way for his whole life, but he's never had these kind of experiences. He never had this kind of call on his life to where he started to, you know, question everything. Of why he's here. Why is he doing the things he does? And it changed everything when God called him and then and revealed himself to him. He realized that his life was different. Now, the fact is that we usually go along with the flow. We go with the flow. We do with whatever we're comfortable with. The way we live here in California is different how they live back east. How we live here in California is different than how they live in Estonia or whatever you want to place. There's different places in the world, and they all live differently. Well, how did they come to live that way? Well, because everybody else lives that way. They all have certain things in common that they just pick up because of who they are and where they're living and who they have in their life. That's just how we do things. I was talking to my wife about my grandson, and he's a little over two. And one day he was talking to his grandmother, and he says, actually, Nana, that's not true. What? Where did he pick up actually, Nana? he didn't read it somewhere. He picked it up because that's where his aunt was saying, actually, you know, to his sister, actually, that's not the way you do it, you know. And he just picked up that word, actually, and just placed it right here. Oh, actually, Nana, no. And we pick up things everywhere where we live, but we never really evaluate them. We just incorporate them. And maybe you've been a Christian, you grew up in a Christian home, and you never really thought about it. That's just the way it is. But there comes a time when everyone has a call where it becomes not just something that you picked up or that you go with the flow with and that you just kind of believe is true. It becomes personal. It's something that you believe. And God has called you. And God calls in so many different ways. I was reading about a woman. Her name is Kristen Powers. And she's a commentator and analyst for Fox News. And I was reading in Christianity Today, she wrote an article in there about her personal call, how God called her, how he confronted her. And I mean, I'd like to just read a few paragraphs here of some of the things she said. She says she had no interest in God, and she was looking to kind of, you know, it's that time of life, you wanted to maybe get married, and so she began dating. And she began dating a man who was into Jesus, she says. And I was not looking for God. In fact, the week before I met him, a friend had asked me if I had any deal breakers in dating. My response would be what? Well, just don't have anybody religious. Okay. So then one night in 2006, as she'd been dating this guy for a while, and she'd been going to church with him, was kind of curious about what the pastor had to say. She was kind of new to the whole thing. The whole thing was like a foreign land, a foreign world to her. And it says, and then in 2006, on a trip to Taiwan, I woke up in what felt like a strange cross between a dream and reality. And Jesus came to me and said, here I am. It felt so real. I didn't know what to make of it. I called my boyfriend, but before I had time to tell him about it, He told me he had been praying the night before and felt we were supposed to break up. So we did. Honestly, while I was upset, I was more traumatized by Jesus visiting me. Then she goes and says, I tried to write off the experience as misfiring of synapses, but I couldn't shake it. When I returned to New York a few days later, I was lost. I suddenly felt God everywhere, and it was terrifying. More important, it was unwelcome. It felt like an invasion, and I started to fear I was going crazy. So she talked to her friends about it, and they said, you need to go to a Bible study and get with other Christians. So she says, okay, I remember, she says, I was walking into the Bible study. I had a knot in my stomach, and in my mind, only weirdos and zealots went to Bible studies. And I don't remember what was said that day. All I know is that when I left, everything had changed. I'll never forget standing outside that apartment on the Upper East Side and saying to myself, it's true. It's completely true. And the world looked different, like a veil had been lifted off of it. I had not one iota of doubt, and I was filled with indescribable joy. She had an encounter with Christ. Now, does everyone have an encounter like that? No. Some do. In fact, I've been reading for quite a while now that a lot of Muslims have been having these dreams where Jesus visits them and talks to them. And Isa is what they call Jesus, and he reveals himself to them, and they go to other Christians to find out, what is this that's happening to me? And they become Christians because of it. So they have an encounter like that. But, you know, this call can come in so many different ways. Some of you might have had a situation where you're at an event or a church service, and the minister gets up and he's talking, and as he's talking, it's as though he read your mail, your email, and knows things about you, and he's speaking right to you, and it just kind of like pierces, and you go, God is talking to me. And you just, it's shaking, and you have a call. God calls you. Some illness comes in your life, and it shakes up everything in your life. Or some tragedy comes in your life, and it changes everything, how you look at things. You start to question everything. Or someone comes in your life that's so different from you, and the way they live and the way they act, it has an impact on you, and it changes everything, the trajectory of your life. Sometimes it can be a lightning bolt. Other times it's a slow boil. Until it gets to the boil and you respond. It happens in so many different ways. But the fact is that God calls people, and what he calls them is to follow him and to follow what he says. And he says, have faith in me. And so that's what happened to Abraham. He had himself in a situation where God called him and told them to come and follow what I say. This is what I want you to do. I want you to leave everything you know, everything that you find have been secure in, comfortable with, and I want you to leave it behind and go where I tell you to go. Now, faith looks at circumstances differently. Notice he says here, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Now, there's something just pops out at me. He didn't know where he was going, yet he was going to go there, and yet he didn't know where he was going. Now, some of you may do that all the time. Leave the house not knowing where you're going, but in this situation, you find that God said, I want you to go and I want you to leave. I have a place for you to go, and I'm not telling you where it is yet. Now, you would think, Abraham says, well, when you get the directions, let me know. Now, I'll be happy to take off, but I'll just wait until then. You don't see that. He immediately responded and just started going, even though he didn't know where he was going. Now, what is that about? Why is he so different in that respect? Why is it that seems to be odd? Why does that seem to be kind of disturbing? That's true. That's why we have GPS, right? So the fact is that you probably would want more details. Why would you want more details? So that you would know what to expect. So you know how things would unfold. So that you would know that you don't take this turn, because if you take this turn, that goes the wrong way and there's problems. So we don't want to go over there. We want to go over here. You want those kind of specifics a little bit. The fact is that Abraham didn't require those specifics. He didn't require to know or understand. He believed that God was trustworthy and that God would be in control of the circumstances. And that God, if he's in control, he'll make it work out. He'll take care of it. Now, the fact is that you can't make circumstances behave. You probably realize that. Circumstances happen. And they don't always work out the way you want them to. And we find sometimes where we can see that things could go wrong. Circumstances could be not what we want. And usually that brings anxiety, that brings worry, that brings stress, because we see that this is the way we would like to go, and this is where we think we're supposed to go, and then there's these circumstances that come up that seem to change everything, and then it makes us like, ooh, I thought I knew where I was going, and now I don't know where I'm going. Abraham was, I don't know where I'm going, and I don't know where I'm going. And he just was at peace with that. See, the fact is that we can do all kinds of things to modify, to control, to try to determine the outcome, the way we want it to come. And we, in fact, we get insurance to protect us against things that could possibly happen and go wrong, right? You got fire insurance, you got flood insurance, you got car insurance, you got all these insurance. Why? Because circumstances happen. Even with the best of plans, they will happen. And so you find that you can't control the circumstances. You can't make it turn out the way you want to. And if you try to, you get frustrated, you get discouraged, and your life is miserable. I was watching a game, I don't know, a few weeks ago now, maybe a couple months ago, I don't remember when, but it was a game, Green Bay Packers against the Detroit Lions. I don't know if any of you guys saw that game. It was an amazing game. Detroit was dominating the game the whole game. They were dominating the field, and they were way ahead. Green Bay happened to come back a little bit, and then they would get smashed, and then they'd lose. It was back and forth, but they were always down, right? Until it come to the very end of the game, they were like, they managed to get down there and kick a field goal. They put within one touchdown, but they didn't have hardly any time left. And so they tried to do an onside kick, and they got the onside kick. And then they're like, wow, that was amazing. Well, it happens sometimes. And then as they're getting ready to call the play, they get the play going, and the quarterback, Rodgers, is running around, and he doesn't get the pass off, throws it, and it doesn't go. But just so happened, the Detroit defensive guy grabs for the face mask and pulls it. Penalty. Well, the clock had run out already. There was no more time. It was the fourth quarter, no more time. So the official says, well, it's a penalty. You can't do that. So we're going to give you a penalty, you know, so many yards penalty, and then we're going to play the down over again. Okay, we'll play the down over. Play's called, and doom, and they out they come. Rodgers is running around like a crazy man, dodges a couple people, There's like four people, you know, do the Hail Mary in the end zone. He gets back, throws it 60 yards, and one of the guys catches it, touchdown, kick a field goal, they win. Now that's what, you go, wait a second, that we had a plan. We had a game plan. We were winning. We were going to, and it, you can't control it. You can make all the plans you want, but the fact is you can't determine it. Here's an interesting verse, James chapter 4, verse 13 through verse 15. It says, look here, you who say today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year, we'll do the business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like a morning fog. It's there a little while and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Now, here's how most people think. If I want to have a successful life, if I want to have a happy life, if I want to have a good life, I need to have certain things in my life, and I need to have them in a specific way. I want to have a happy life, so I need a spouse. I want to have a good life, so I want to have a good job. And I want to have a good job, so I need a good education. And you have all these things, these circumstances that you need to unfold in your life in order for you to have a happy and a good life. And we start to believe that we can make that happen as we want. So we're looking for the circumstances of our life to turn out the way we want them to turn out. So we're going to get this kind of a job. We're going to get this kind of family. We're going to have these kind of kids. And we're going to have this kind of activities in our life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact is, the longer you live, the more you realize that doesn't always come true. That doesn't always happen. And you put all your energy into it to make it happen. And then it doesn't happen, and then it won't happen. Now what do? Your life is over. You crash and you go, life is awful. I'm going to be single for the rest of my life. I'm never going to have kids. I'm never going to make more than minimum wage. I'm not going to, your life is, you don't have a happy life. When you look at Abraham's life, it didn't go out that way. It didn't unfold the way he thought it would unfold. He wasn't looking for circumstances to take a certain path and to go a certain way for him to have a wonderful life. He didn't have any kids. And God promised him kids. And then what did God say? He says, okay, how is this going to happen? I'm 99. My wife is 90. And God says, well, I'll tell you later. Give us a little clue, maybe, I don't know how this works. No. And he trusted God. He believed him. Then a few years later, God says, hey, that son you got there, I want you to go up to the top of the hill and murder him, kill him. Why would you want to do that? Well, I'll tell you later. He had to live by faith. The circumstances weren't unfolding like he thought they would, or they should probably, but he didn't look at the circumstances to be necessary for him to have a good life. See, the thing is, some people come to the Christian faith and they say, so if I become a Christian, will it make my life better? Does Christianity work? What is the implication there? What is that all about? What they're saying is, will Christianity make the circumstances I want to happen happen? And will life turn out the way I want if I become a Christian? I understand that Christianity, it makes your life better and it makes you happy and it helps you with things. And so I'm interested, does it work for me? Does it work? No, it won't work for you. Why? Because, see, you're not coming to surrender to God to worship God. You want him to do something for you. And the most important thing is not God. It's that the circumstances turn out the way you want them to. And God just won't do that. He says, well, if that's the kind of relationship you want, I don't want it. It's like if you went into a marriage where the guy says, so, can you make me happy? Well, I guess, what do you mean? Well, will you do this and that and this and make sure this doesn't happen and that doesn't happen and this happened and that? Well, I don't know. I can't know if I do. Well, I don't know. Okay, well, let's try it. All right. Well, you're not doing that, and I'm not very happy with this. Can you stop? The woman would be stupid to go into that kind of relationship. He doesn't love her. He loves what he thinks she's going to do for him, and that's what he loves. God is not going to be a part of that kind of relationship. So when Abraham came into this relationship, he came with none of that baggage. Although over time, it kind of fluctuated from, he had moments. He wasn't a sterling man of faith at all times, but he grew in faith so that he found as time went on, God would test him, that God would show him things and reveal things to him so that he would be more focused, more committed, more engaged with God, no matter what the circumstances were. And he was able to face amazing obstacles, amazing difficult circumstances and situations because of faith, because he was focused on his relationship with God. So here's the point. How you respond to these circumstances makes the difference. It makes all the difference. It's not making sure that all the circumstances go as you want them to, because that'll never happen. It's being able to face the circumstances that come into your life and to be able to overcome them and deal with them. And you can't have that if you put your faith in your ability to make life turn out the way you want to. You have to turn your focus and your faith to the Creator, to Christ, to God, and say what your will is and how should I handle this? How do I overcome the circumstances in my life? There's somebody who needs some help with life this morning. It's really rough out there. Anyhow, now Jesus, of course, was the perfect man. And he knew what it was to have a good life. He was in heaven, where everything went right, where nothing went wrong. We had perfect love, perfect peace, all power, all glory. Everything was great. And God said, I want you to go. I want you to leave here, and I want you to go. Go to earth. And the life that he faced, he's the Son of God. He's God's Son. Surely God will work out the circumstances of his life so it works out good, right? Because he loves his Son, right? No, it doesn't work out that way. But we find God, that Jesus was an amazing example of faith. Why? Because he faced circumstances that unbelievable. It didn't go out the way you would think it should go. I mean, here comes the Son of God, the one who created the world, who's come to save men from their sins. He's come to be their Savior. And what do they do? He's the perfect love. I mean, there's nothing he does that's wrong. And he loves people genuinely, compassionately, in amazing ways. And so what kind of life should he have living like that? Persecution. rejection, hardship, betrayal, grief. Now, if he's expecting life to go a certain way, like Satan would want him to, he'd be done. Life would crush him. But because of his relationship with his Father, his faith, he overcame. He overcame the world. See, faith gives you a foundation to build on. Notice what he says here in verse 10. For he was looking forward to the city without foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He was looking for a foundation, looking for something that was solid, something that was secure. He looked for a city. Now, a city, when you think of city, it's taken from the word civil or civilization. He was looking for a civilization. He's looking for a community and a life that's right and good. Has a foundation that's secure, that's solid. That's what he was looking for. And so when he came to the promised land, he stayed in tents because he was looking for a foundation, a city with a foundation, and it wasn't any of the cities that were around him. Now, his nephew Lot, he didn't have the same outlook, and he went down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Because he went to the city that was corrupt. And it ruined him. Ruined his life. See, the fact is that there aren't any solid foundation in this world. Everything in this world is changing. Everything in this world is temporary. There's nothing that's permanent. There's nothing that's really solid. No matter what you build your life on in this world, you can't have it as your ultimate foundation. Well, I believe in marriage. And I think that's really important. I said, well, yeah, that's it. That is important. But if you build your life on your marriage, it's not going to be able to hold you. It's not going to be able to support you through all of life. Why? What do you mean? Well, you ever heard of illness? You ever hear of death, of tragedy, of divorce, of betrayal? These things happen. If you built your life on that, and those things happen, guess what? Your foundation is crumbling. Your foundation is destroyed. Everything in this life, no matter what, if you build it on your physical skills and athletics, or your beauty, or your wealth, or your talent, whatever we build our life on, we think that it's going to make our life the good life. You can't have those things as the ultimate foundation for your life. Why? Because they're not solid. They aren't secure. And God shows us that sometimes. God allows things to happen in our life that shakes us when we put our foundation on something that isn't solid. And that's what Abraham tells us here, is faith looks to a foundation, looks to a city whose maker and designer and builder is God. He looked to that to be the ultimate foundation for his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says this, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." What God says doesn't change. Who God is doesn't change. It lasts, it's permanent, it won't be different, it'll stay the same. It's something that you can build your foundation on. So what am I building my foundation on? That's for you to examine. And you may not even know until your tree is shaken, until your life is shaken. When circumstances come in your life, and that is not something I expected to happen to me, you find out what your foundation was. You know, Abraham wanted a son. That's nothing wrong to wanting a son. Nothing wrong with wanting to have a good marriage. Nothing wrong to having a good career. Nothing wrong with being well provided for financially. None of these things are wrong. It's only when you make them the foundation of your life that you get in trouble. So God wanted to make sure that his foundation was on him and not his son and having a son. So he went through that little test of offering his son on the altar on the mountain. Now, the fact is that you don't know what's coming next. You don't know what the future holds in the near term. In other words, I don't know what my life is going to be like a year from now. I would like it to be a certain way, but I have no guarantee for those things. I don't know what's going to happen next. You know, when I was first became a Christian, early on in my Christian life, I would pray and seek what was God's will. Anybody do that? I have like 5 or 6 books on seeking God's will, you know, finding out what God's will is for your life. And you know, I'm thinking roadmap. I'm thinking God's going to give me some direction. I want you to go down here, and then I want you to turn left there. And then you're going to do this, and then you're going to have to get that done and this done, and I'm going to be with you here. No, none of that. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? What should I do with my life? You know, I'm wondering what is my life about. I just don't want to live here in my home with my parents for the rest of my life. I just don't. What do you want me to do? What is this? And I prayed and I fasted and I sought God. And God spoke to me, says, I want you to move from Seattle, and I want you to move to California. God, he's answered my prayer. I am happy. I know where I'm going. I'm leaving. Mom, Dad, I'm packing up, putting my stuff in my Impala, shoving my first car, and I'm heading to California. And the Lord just now, this is just going to unfold. And when I get down there, he'll show me the next thing. We'll just go step by step, and we'll just going through, you know, just like the GPS says, in 20 yards, turn right. You know, I'm going, all right, this is the way it's going to work. I get down there, nothing. Nothing. Hello. This is what I want you to do. Wait. See, the fact is that if you're expecting life to unfold for you like that, where your circumstances and situations will unfold the way you want them to, you're going to find yourself looking at life and saying, is this going to happen or is that going to happen? Can I make this happen? And you might think at the beginning, it's all going to work out great until some things mess up the trajectory of what you want to happen. And then you find yourself going, well, if I can't guarantee this to happen, then should I do anything? Should I just stay where I'm at? And you get paralyzed, or you just live in denial. Or you distrust God. The fact is, the way to deal with these kind of perspectives is that we don't know what's coming next. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. We don't know what's coming next month. But we know what's going to happen eventually, where we're going. And we have to focus on the end of the story. That's what Abraham was doing. He was looking forward to that. Did he ever get the land that he was promised? No, he didn't. He never got it. His descendants did, but he didn't. Did he ever find the city while he was on earth? No, he lived in a tent all his life. But he's in heaven now. It's funny how we tend to focus on the life here and now as though that's heaven, that's all there is, this is what it's all about, and we forget what Abraham taught us here is that we're just strangers. We're resident aliens. We live here, but we're not citizens here. We are involved here, but this is not our home. And we're getting ready for, we're looking forward to when we will get home eventually. So Abraham looked forward to a city whose maker is God, and now he is in that city. And you, who are believers, that's where you're going. That's the ultimate where your heart needs to be set. That's the ultimate where your foundation needs to be resting. That's the ultimate where your circumstances are going to all lead you to, so that you can go through whatever you find yourself facing when you trust God to take you through it step by step, not having to know where you're going or all the details. But we look to the one whose character and his promises and who he is makes all the difference. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the example of faith from Abraham. And we are grateful, Lord, that we may not know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow. And we want to focus on he who holds tomorrow. And when you become everything, then there's nothing that we need. And you will give us all that we need. Help us to walk by faith, Lord, and not by sight, to trust you, to walk with you, to commune with you, to live for you, that we might be able to overcome whatever circumstances may happen. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, and hope your team wins.